Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have quite a fun guest. I will introduce you all to BJ Worley, and then from that point, we will absolutely learn more about this creature.
BJ? Who is that?
Who's BJ?
I've never heard of that person.
What does BJ stand for?
My closest friends get to learn this, but now,
You don't have to share if you don't want to.
My given name is Bobby Joe.
Okay.
That explains a lot. You would go by BJ as well.
Uh-huh. Bobby Joe.
Yes.
Bobby with a Y or an I.
Not Robert Joseph. Bobby Joe.
Bobby Joe.
It is legally
Fantastic.
Bobby Joe.
And
yes, it is with a Y because my parents, they picked the same out and I was going to be Bobby Joe whether I was a boy or girl. They were just going to have to change the spelling. So I was screwed either way.
Holy moly.
Mom and Dad.
Thanks, Mom. Well,
I mean, I've known you for like almost six years, something like that. And I don't think that I realized it was BJ until maybe just earlier this year.
Until yesterday.
exactly.
Bobby. Right. I will never refer to you as that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No. I would have been like, Sam. My name is Sam. How old were you when you started going by BJ?
Oh, it was like, that's just what I was raised being called.
Really?
I was only Bobby Joe when I was in trouble.
Okay.
So, like, as a kid growing up, I was just always BJ. Every year at school, like, the first day of class, teachers would be, like, taking roll call, and then, like, so my last name starts with a W, so I was always the last kid on roll call.
Right.
They would get to the bottom, and they're like, Bobby, blah, 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 and all the other kids in the class would, like, turn, like, because they just learned that my name was Bobby at the same time, because I've just always been BJ.
You've always been BJ. Well, I think this is a great kind of tangent to say, how the hell did you get to the couch today,
oh,
BJ?
How did I get to the couch today?
Yeah.
Well, picture it, Sicily.
Yeah.
1870.
Picasso.
Oh, geez, how did I get here? It's a long, sorted
where
past.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in South Central Missouri.
Okay.
My dad was in the military, so we grew up at Fort Leonard Wood. It's a little military community there. My entire family got really involved in the local community theater, so that was kind of my introduction to the arts and getting to flourish with this. So I started with community theater. I did a lot of choir and theater through middle school and high school as well. So,
do you have siblings?
I have one older brother.
One older brother.
He's 5 years older than me. He's living out in Oregon now. Oregon or Washington, somewhere up there.
Do you have a good relationship with him?
I mean, like, as a kid growing up, like, we were, like, button heads, like, kind of like brothers do. Now that we're older, like, we get along, we're fine. Like, he's super cool and supportive. He knows all of my crazy stuff that I do.
You all should see what we are seeing right now. Was he in community theater as well?
Yeah. Like, the whole family. Like, me and my brother, my dad, like, we were more on stage. My mom kind of preferred the behind the scenes. She stage managed a lot, did a lot of stuff behind.
That's cool. Behind
the curtain.
Wow. Like, so, I mean, I think in pretty much everyone I've interviewed, no one has said that. That essentially the entire Fandam family in a small town, like, did theater.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. Okay, so you're doing theater and you fell in love with the arts,
theater.
Right?
I fell in love with the arts. I fell in love with the stage. So I graduated high school and I went to college. I moved to Columbia, went to Mizzou. And while I was in college, that's when I, like, came to terms with myself. And I was like, oh, I'm a big old queerosexual. So I started going to the gay bar there, and that's when I first saw drag, and I was like...
What year was this?
I started college in 2007. I kind of came to terms with myself junior year of college, so 2009, 2010, I guess.
Oh my god, I just missed you.
I was like,
so,
yeah. You guys
like,
we together?
We were ships passing in the night.
Literally, because I graduated in 07.
Oh.
So I was there from 04 to 07.
Oh.
Getting into SoCo.
Good old SoCo.
Right. Is that where you hung out too?
Yeah. I picked up SoCo when it was there on the south side of town for like a couple of years, and then they moved downtown.
Yes.
But then they sadly closed, and
they
there's
did.
A different bar that opened in the old location on the south side of town.
Which is Ying Yang.
Yin Yang Nightclub.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be crazy to go back to the Ying Yang Club.
Oh, yeah.
Have to scrape all the gross off the floor.
they actually have a lovely stage and a lovely dressing room there.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that that's what so many different queens sort of say as well. They have a great dressing room. Like, don't get it, you know.
That's important.
It is pristine and nice as far as drag queen dressing rooms go.
That's fair.
Do you ever go back and perform there?
I was actually performing there. They had opened before I moved to Kansas City, so I was performing there kind of regularly a couple times a month.
And what was your drag name there?
Oh, so yeah, my drag persona... words, hard, difficult. Yeah. My drag persona, I performed as Alessandra Blaze. Mm-hmm. It's a mouthful. But
how did you come up with that name?
Oh, it's kind of embarrassing. So I was originally wanting to use the name Cindy Sapphire. Gross, I know. Luckily, while I was thinking over names, somebody else in the local community started performing as Victoria Sapphire, or like something. They started performing under the same last name, and I was like, well, shit, I have to come up with a different name now.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully. So I was in, like, a grocery store checkout lane one day, and they have those little, like, baby name books, like, next to the magazines, and I just started flipping through that. I didn't even make it past the A's. I was like, ooh, Alessandra, that's fun and exotic.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose that, and then I picked the last name Blaze because at the time that I started doing drag, it was kind of like... It was like my new fire in life. I was going through a difficult time, and I started doing drag because it gave me a new passion, something to like actually like work for. So.
That's so fun. I always love to find out how people came up with their like alternate names, which we'll talk about another one of your names here.
Too many personas.
No, the most difficult one we sort of ever had was Spencer Brown, who was Daisy Bouquet, who was Trampolina, who was, you know, all of these things, and we were like, I don't know who the fuck I'm talking to.
I think we ended up with just Spencer.
I think we just talked to Spencer by the end of that. Anyway, yeah. So cool. So what brought you from Columbia, Missouri to Kansas City?
So I moved to Kansas City about 3 years ago. It was actually my roommate that I was living with at the time. Both of us were working for like big corporate retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
He was in upper management and he was getting transferred out here to Kansas City. So he, like, when we were in Columbia, he was like, so do I need to find someone to take over my part of the lease? Or, like, what would you think about moving to Kansas City with me? And I was like, yes, please, get me out of here.
Let's go. But so, was Columbia, like, a big city step up from where you grew up? Or was it kind of...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I grew up in, like, tiny, small town, southern Missouri, like I was saying. So, like, when I moved to Columbia, I was like, ooh, this is a big city living for me. There's a mall. We have chain restaurants like Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
on the border.
There's a Target.
Yeah. Was there a Target when I was there? I don't even know if there was a Target.
Yeah. The Target's attached to the mall.
It is attached to the mall.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I don't think... I still don't... It's not separate. There's not another Target. It's just the Target.
I just don't know if I ever went to Target when I was in Columbia.
Yeah. It used to be because I think Columbia had a Target before... Well, when I say before, we had one, but that's simply because I do not leave the Midtown region, so probably not prior to the, like, 119th and Metcalf, but that may as well be Columbia in my brain. I'm like, I don't know, day trip, I gotta get a hotel if I go that far away.
I went to Walmart in Columbia because it was next to the Steak and Shake.
Which Walmart did you go to, though? Because there's three, because little known fact, Sam Walton is actually from Columbia.
That's true, that little cute fact. The one that is... The Quick Trip is on the, like, other side of the highway. There's a hotel there.
I don't know if I want to disclose this, but I may or may not work for that big corporation, Walmart.
You did, or you do?
I still currently do.
Mm-hmm. Which one do you work at?
I work up in North Kansas City.
Cool.
Okay. Boardwalk.
Yeah. I know many people who have tried to apply to work there for different reasons. Do you like working for them?
It's
a job.
I'm gonna say yes, of course, absolutely. I love working there for anyone listening out there.
Sure.
It's a paycheck. Like I get my money, I clock out at the end of the day, I go home, I don't think about it.
There must be.
I think that's fine. I think there's obviously
like,
lots of corporate.
I don't
issues.
Live my work. Like,
exactly. Right. But I will say that I went to Bentonville, what was that, 2 summers ago, and went to the first Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's charming as all get out. Like, it, because you have, I mean, you have to, like, look at what that was on, like, a little town square. It's completely preserved. You get to, like, go through and see the original, like, Sam Walton's truck, and it's charming. And,
it is charming.
Yeah. And
the
there's
original
a
idea
soda
is great.
Fountain shop attached to it that still has all of the prices from when it, like, so you can go in and get, like, an ice cream cone for 5 cents or whatever. It's adorable.
I think I was in Columbia when an heiress to that fortune got married.
Yes.
And that was fun, because they took over the town.
Mm-hmm.
God, I do miss Columbia, Missouri in some ways. Mm. I would eat a pokey stick tomorrow from Gumby's, which I can't find anywhere in this damn city.
I made them once for you.
Yeah.
There are a few things I miss about Columbia. I miss the people.
Yeah.
I miss Sparky's.
Oh.
Last year, the sisters, we went out to Pride there, and that was one of the things. I was like, I don't care what we do. If we go into downtown for, food or something, we're getting Sparky's. Mm-hmm. And we did.
Is Shakespeare's Pizza still downtown? They tore it down.
I think they tore down that building, but they might have moved to another location.
Yes. Yeah. But Alex's family still lives in Columbia, and so, yes, his
see how easy it is to tangent?
Yes. We're talking about pizza and ice cream.
Because Shakespeare's has expanded. You can actually buy Shakespeare's now frozen, like in our... at the grocery store here.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alex's sister bartends there.
Her
boyfriend.
I used to love there. We went to Gumby's essentially, because it was right next to Stevens where I went to college. So we would just walk literally on the other side of the wall and grab that. Because the cool part about Stevens is downtown divides MU and Stevens. So everyone kind of meets in that center area, if you will.
I was like, downtown divides the three colleges.
Yeah.
Columbia, Stevens, and Mizzou. They all just butt right up to the
downtown.
I loved
that whenever the beginning of the year, so whatever, whenever new people were downtown, it's just there was always that flourish. And as I always said, we partied whether MU won or lost. It was a different party downtown all the time. What was that? The Coliseum? Is that a...
The Coliseum.
Like a bar?
Yeah. There's on the other side. I'll have to find that
out. We'll Google it.
Yeah. It was on the other side of town that we would go to when we wanted to be classy. It had pillars and
fancy
stuff. Never mind.
There's Arch and Column, but they don't have pillars.
That's the gay bar, right?
Yeah, that was the other gay bar in town.
Yeah. No, I'll have to come up with that whenever we get into it. Anyway, so you're in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
You move into a bigger city.
Yes, it was a bigger step up for me. Like, I know as a kid growing up, I was like, oh my God, I could never live in a big city. Like, I could never, do it. I could never live in St. Louis. I could never live in Kansas City, but here I am. And I'm like, I love it here. I would never trade this for anything.
What's your favorite part about living in the city?
Well, I live up on the north side, so, I'm kind of, in a burb, but I'm still, part of the city. I just love that there's always something to do. I love that there's, more culture, more arts.
I love Kansas City. Courtney and I talk about all the time that hometown pride is super easy for me.
Yeah.
I dig everything. I tell people, if you don't have an opportunity, please come through Kansas City. Have a taste of our food, our charm. Our eclectic nature, which I can't wait to talk about. Literally, this person is in a nun outfit with a harness in front of me.
What? It's just a simple little daytime look.
Right. And
going grocery shopping.
Daytime outfit. I was saying right before we started the air recording today that I just live such a fucking magical life sometimes that people like you get to come and sit and have a conversation with me, and I cannot believe how lucky I am.
you get to experience that magic, but also, there's just something, when you kind of, say, fuck society, fuck the world, and you decide to be that magic, that's what's
do you feel you're magical?
Crazy. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So we were mentioning earlier, I started off doing drag, and, I was doing the very, in-the-box, traditional Midwest pageant drag. I want to look like a real woman. I want to have giant hair. I want to have the hourglass. I was doing all that. But, I got really bored with that really quick. And I was like, I want to start doing crazy stuff. I finally got to that point. And then, the light switch flipped in my head where I was like, I don't care if I make money in the bar. I don't care if I do a top 40 song.
Right.
And I go around and I make the most tips that night. I don't care about that. I want to do art. I want to do what I want to do. And if the audience doesn't like it, I don't care because I like it.
I've had conversations with a couple of different queens, if you will, about that idea of when you stop working necessarily for the dollar and you start being the creature you want to be, you often end up with better experiences and money. You don't feel like you have to fit into a box, as you said.
Yeah. You stop caring about others and you care about yourself and you make the magic for yourself.
So let's talk for a second about that pageant world, if you will. So how many years did you compete in the Miss Gay Missouri America system?
I think I did it 4 years. And that's actually how we all met, I believe.
Officially, I think that is how it happened. You came here in, I think we were talking, it was
2015. April of 15, I think it had to be.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that first year competing in the Miss Game Missouri America system, the pageant was held here at the Arts Assembly.
Right,
so
before we renovated the theater, before we did anything.
It was still, like, coming here, seeing this building, it was still magical, like, even when it was like a little more rotted, a little more gutted, a little more.
I fell in
like,
love with the pageant system.
It was authentic.
Because of you guys. Like,
yeah,
100%.
That first year,
was incredible. Yeah. Blair Williams was our Miss Gay America that year. And it was, we packed like 600 people into this building. On that final night, we were busting at.
We had to actually stop taking tickets at the door. Like,
there were people who had dancers who they had to prove that they were in someone's routine.
We had to go one
so they could
to
get
in the building.
And told them they had to leave after
that. Right.
Like, you can't stick around.
You can't hang out.
You're going to hang in this hallway, dance, and then bounce.
Then you got to be outside. And then you are obviously the first ones that get to come in as people start to exit. And definitely once, like, as we know, the top 10's announced, there's people
yeah, exactly.
So we were like, you're gonna have to wait. But at that point, we were going till 1:30.
Oh, I mean, I think that they crowned Kyla at like 2:30 in the morning or something insane. And that was the year that it was our first year being involved in the pageant at all. And I remember when the whole board came, I gave them a tour on like a Sunday afternoon. And Adria Andrews was our reigning Missouri at that point, so it was her step down. But Alex broke his ankle. Alex, you know, for a guy who is probably relatively healthy, I've just realized going through all of these things. How
Alex is okay,
everyone. He's fine. he broke his ankle like the week before. And so he was in that giant boot and couldn't do anything. And I was just like, get out of my way! Like, it was just madness trying to run the bar.
It was
Yeah, it was, but it was so much fun.
I think I was doing Promises at that time, co-directing that at Leewood. And I just, the pageant closed on that Saturday night into that Sunday morning, and I had to go to, like, tech or something the next day, and I was like, I just, like, I still have glitter on my face, and I smell like $1 bills.
Well,
because we had to count.
Oh, yeah, God, we were just in here with so much, with so many ones, and I love you, Chris. Krista Collins refuses to leave a building until she is fully out of track, so we were here until, like, 4:30 in the morning. I was like,
just
Chris,
waiting.
Get out!
And she comes down with a glow and kind of smells like baby powder. And you're like, did you enjoy your, you know,
your whole shower in the sink upstairs?
Anyway, so is that your first year that you competed in the system? Or
That was my first year getting involved in the system. And, like, actually, like, mentioning these names right now, like, that first year when I competed in Miss Gay Missouri, like, that's when I really fell in love with the system because, like, the names you were throwing out, like, I met a bunch of the former Miss Gay Missouris that year for the first time because in Columbia we had Athena Boche. She was our hometown princess.
Yes.
She was our local homegirl who had previously won the title. But when I competed that year and I came to Kansas City, I met Krista Collins. I met Loretta Martin. I met Kathy Klein.
I
met Sparkly Mon.
All
these amazing performers. I was like, oh my God, like, I want to be like them. Like, which, even though I may not be competing in pageantry anymore, like, I still feel like I'm magical. I'm on that same level.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still.
And that's a pretty fantastic list of humans.
I love
officially
those
Ricky Accordion Day because
Ricky did.
It's my Facebook anniversary with Miss Sparkle Mon.
I love Sparkle Mon. We had this last year. Whenever I went to judge last year's pageant, Ricky and Victoria DePaula were sharing a room together.
Carl.
Yeah, they were roommates.
And they were like two doors down from us.
Yeah, so we went to White Castle at 2:00 in the morning to get some chicken fries or something. One of my favorite conversations probably of that whole adventure took place in there about racism sometimes inside of the pageant system and how those things happen on accident, like not even intentionally because it's a place for everyone yet. You know, what Ricky would have to do that you can't just, she was just like, I can't even borrow a pair of like tights if I need to because they don't match my skin color. Thinking about that all of these other queens sometimes in the back room, you can share even foundations or makeups or whatever. Yeah. And she's like, there are times that I'm by myself and no one can help me because no one's thought to.
Like, I think that I remember hearing Moulton was telling, like, kind of an anecdotal story one time that one of the years she competed, she was doing, like, burlesque number, and she had one of those silicone breastplates It was amazing, so but she got critiqued because the silicone breastplate did not match her skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, sorry, it was one of those. Just kidding.
I loved that routine.
It was an amazing routine. It was an amazing talent.
But did not match. and to be so clothesless. Mm-hmm. isn't that so funny? But I don't know if we took it off, but at those mm-hmm. levels, you know, when as we were moving through, we mm-hmm. were just like being more conscious. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I took off points. I can't vouch for the other ones because that panel that year was me. That was Asia O'Hara.
Brutal. Yeah.
That was Asia.
I think Athena was the head judge.
Athena was our head judge. We had. Susie was our costumer
from down south that mm-hmm. I can't remember his name right now.
Jeff Willis.
So that was me, Jeff Willis.
I'm trying to go through, I sat in that chair and I got interviewed by all of you who was sitting at that table.
Right, and then, so it was me, it was Jeff, it was Athena, it was Asia, who was at the end? Tiffany Hunter. That was a panel.
It was a panel.
So we all were looking for some
and that
really
was like right before Asia was on Drag Race. So it was. And Asia was the most amazing American.
She's my favorite America.
Yeah.
Was she a judge that year?
She was a judge that year because she was Miss Gay America the previous year.
Yeah. Whenever what's her face one? Regina.
Regina, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but we just mentioned, I don't know if I took points off, but I did mm-hmm. say your breastplate did not match
right.
when you ain't wearing no clothes.
Yeah.
Widow did really good that year, too. She did the Joker. Mm-hmm. I remember that routine, mm-hmm. too. It's fun.
Did you compete that year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why am I not? That weekend was the biggest blur of my life.
Which Regina?
Was that Regina's reigning year, right?
Yes.
Regina's, so the theme was Comic-Con. I had different costumes every night that I changed it to mm-hmm. after competing.
Yeah. Were you a chameleon?
I think.
Did you do the chameleon face?
Chameleon face?
I don't know.
I think that year was the first year that I did my Into the Woods.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah, it was.
I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah. Because you also did Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Because you competed at Midwest here. For that, with that mm-hmm. routine as well, too, for Miss Midwest. That's the one I remember.
We're like digging weird into when our
I was like, one. I competed for Miss Gay KC here, and I think that was my last year that I competed.
Okay. Oh, okay, because KC mm-hmm. was here that year, too. That was like the
Wait,
year.
Miss Midwest, that was the regional pageant. I wasn't competing, but I was here helping out.
You're here helping
that
out.
Night.
Okay.
Because that was the one that Susie and me and you decided mm-hmm. to do one night at Miss Gay Missouri, and then our promoter mm-hmm. dropped.
Right,
like
and then we
day.
Ended up being, literally that.
That day. We got a phone call that day.
They were like, you guys have to come up with the prize package.
Oh.
I was like, okay.
That's
and
fun.
Widow wasn't allowed to come because...
Correct, she had gotten into it the night before with...
At Missy B's.
And the America, Michael and...
Robin Michael.
Yep, Robin Michael. Were in the bar and could hear her, and so they were allowed to come to your
stuff. Look at these people getting the tea. Maybe we should just edit all of this.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I don't know that wasn't public information, because that was kind of... Because that was when Asia was gone, so...
Yeah.
That was so fun.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, because we had a discussion about that routine and your song choice in the office the next day.
We did.
That you chose the Meryl Streep version of Into mm-hmm. the Woods, and I would have chose the Bernie from the original Into the Woods. Mm-hmm.
That probably wouldn't have been a better choice, because I mixed from that into like another Broadway song, mm-hmm. so if I did two Broadway...
But I love Meryl Streep's version of The Witch was incredible.
But that is the moment that Isabel fell in love with drag.
Yes.
Your dress transformation.
You're the reason Isabel's...
Yeah. In the back.
You're
like, oh my god. Yep. Aww. Yeah. That watching that routine where she was just sitting there like, oh my god.
I recorded your routine. I have that probably. Mm-hmm. I can go find it. I loved it.
Yeah.
As long as you didn't record my solo talent the first year I was competing here when I fell on stage.
Which was that song?
It was American Horror Story, the 60s number, Name Game?
Uh-huh.
Name
yes.
Game. Yeah. I slipped, fell on stage, and Vicky Valentino, I think, was the head judge, and under the comment sheet, she wrote, "You fell on stage." No shit.
Like,
thanks.
Thank you.
So did
thanks
Regina.
For that
she
comment.
Won that year.
Regina fell in her sneaker.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was like, oh no, she fell. But I don't know that anybody didn't think it was a death drop, because it certainly sounded like one.
Well, I think we lost a brick, you know, because she, mm-hmm. boom!
She knocked some of the mortar loose.
Yeah, that was... Mm-hmm. amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. God, see? But although I want to go back this year, I got some questions for some Miss Grand Missouri contestants this year. I know that I am not allowed, but I want to go back.
Mm-hmm. Why are you not allowed? Like,
you have to at least wait a year.
You can't be consecutive. Gotcha.
Yeah. It was random that I even got to do it so close from the year Tabby won to the year that Vega won. Mm-hmm. Because there was really only one season in between there. But yeah, it was fun. I love being a judge. I think I might have talked mm-hmm. about it yesterday or something. I just think that it is so cool to get to hopefully... Oh, I had dinner with Moulton a couple of nights ago. That's why I got all the drama. There it is.
Oh, that's where all the stories
are. Yeah, that's right. Where we were comparing things in a great way. But I was just talking about how I love being able to have that opportunity because mm-hmm. at some point to like flip my own hair, there is only five of us who mm-hmm. get picked to be a judge. Yeah. I mean, you could ask 20 million people and for some reason they wanted my opinion and I mm-hmm. thought that was pretty cool.
That's some good validation right there.
Yeah,
it was fun last year.
It was. And then I got to do Transformations in Lawrence a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought that was stellar. Because then judging for, like, a charity that gets to, like, get $10,000 at the end, like, I was all about that. Mm-hmm. So you did a little drag pageantry.
Just and a then little you bit, stopped. A little stint.
Why'd you stop?
Like, I stopped competing because, like, I kind of got to that point, like I was saying earlier, like, I kind of got tired of doing, like, the traditional in-the-box, like, mm-hmm. like I got tired of, like, limiting myself and, like, editing myself, and I was like, I just want to be crazy, I just want to be over the top, I want to be this magical creature.
So was it, like, a switch, like, one day you were like, done with the pageant system, I'm gonna do drag my way?
Like, it was that last year I was competing, like, I came and I competed for Miss Gay KC here mm-hmm. in this lovely building, and, like, I qualified through that city prelim, and I was excited, but then, like, the months leading up to Miss Gay Missouri, like, I just wasn't excited about it. Like, I wasn't, like, 100% in it, and, like, I went and competed that weekend, and I was just, like, I'm just going through the motions on stage, like, I'm not passionate about this. Like, mm-hmm. that's when I was, like, I need to do something else.
That's a lot of time and money if you're not passionate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money that you're putting into something. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes. I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes the dresses that aren't worn on the final night, I can't imagine, like, just holding that $5,000 in a bag.
I'm going to steam this $5,000 now.
Right. I know.
I'm going to carefully step into this $5,000. Well, I personally never spent $5,000 on a gown, but... There are girls out there who
there were. Mm-hmm. Well,
easily.
That's usually the funny thing that you hear when they aren't in the top 10 is the people that will walk
by. They start and be dropping like, that dollar amount.
How much money they spent,
yeah.
what they had to do. And I'm always like, I have seen a girl up there in a off the rack dress.
Like, wasn't it Krista Collins one wearing like a plain velvet gown?
Yep.
Yes.
But like, it fit, it was immaculate. Like, it's not all about the beads, it's not all about the rhinestones. It's not about how much you
spend. And that was her first year competing, too, when she won. Which is.
And she placed pretty well in America that year, too, right?
Oh, she's placed really well in America multiple times, mm-hmm. I think.
It's that live singing and that dancing.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's something else.
She's one of a kind. Did you see our Jesus Christ Superstar?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, I did. I came manifested.
And that's right.
Just kidding.
I was like, how do you not remember
We're talking about Krista Collins, because it's always so fucking funny to me that, like, Krista Collins, who's that fierce bitch, played Jesus in our show.
It's true.
Like, I don't know if I've told either of you this, like, I absolutely loved the production you guys did of Jesus Christ Superstar, because, like, about halfway through the show, like, the light switch went off in my head. I was like, Krista Collins is playing Jesus, and you had Justin playing Judas, mm-hmm. that's two gay men. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's a whole undertone to this and that, like, changes the story.
And did you know that Justin and Chris had never, they had performed together
They had never
life.
Performed as men.
Right? Yep. Yeah, they were very, like, they were both like, this is amazing that we've been performing together for, like, 10 years.
As
and
Chris
never,
and Justin.
Never as men. And I was like all right, we'll do it. And it was an interesting flip to do because traditionally the roles of Judas and Jesus are flipped race-wise as well. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting to watch kind of what the Judas role looks like when it is a white man attacking mm-hmm. a black man. It was a very interesting process to kind of work through all of that. And then obviously we did some very visual and graphic things with both deaths.
I definitely think that if we would have hung Judas as a black man, it would have had a completely different...
Would have. Yeah. I don't know that we could have done it if that if the roles had been reversed. And I don't know that it's really ever been... I mean, most of the time, the hanging is very subliminal from a backstage area. There's just
a piece of red fabric. It is not front and certain, like front and center.
It was silent.
Yeah.
After that, funk, and it was silent. We're very lucky.
It was a great production.
I don't laugh. So when did you begin to fall into this lovely creature that is sitting in front of me right now? And tell us a little bit about the sisters, if you will.
Yeah, so my life has been like a journey down many different paths. So when I moved here to Kansas City, I knew of Andy Chambers. I knew of the sisters, like actually through doing pageantry. Like, I'd been doing a couple of, like, prelims, and, like, I think it was my third year competing that Andy and Alan, or Glamorama and Phil, they came and gave a blessing. So, like, I knew of the sisters. I had seen them, like, from the periphery, but I moved here to Kansas City, and, like, I was just, like, in my apartment, like, doing crazy makeup, like, on myself. Like, literally, I would just sit in my apartment and do makeup and then post a picture. Like, I wouldn't even go out at all. Like, I was just creating art for the sake of doing something. And, like, Andy messaged me one day. He was like, hey, have you ever thought about the sisters? Like, have you ever, like, looked into this at all? Like, so I just started chatting with him, asking questions, and it just went from there. Like,
I love it.
Here I am on this crazy path now.
And I think that, you know, what Andy Chambers and the whole City of Fountain Sisterhood has brought is something delicious to our city. You know, the awareness, the acceptance, the out and proud ways that so many people feel, not even if you're, like, gay, but just, like, you guys really do provide a safe place for people to come up and, like, find you. And you can't miss you, you know? like, look at you. Yeah. Right. Which is really kind of exciting. And you all get to pick your names, right, as part of the sisterhood?
Yeah, like, the names, like, it's kind of a mixed bag. Like, some people pick their own names, some people are kind of gifted a name, or, like, it's a little process that they go through.
What was your
I know, like, when I was starting off, like, I kind of had a notebook that I was, like, kind of jotting down names when I thought of them. Or actually, I think it's a note on my phone, which I still have some names on that list. But it was, I think it was Pride. I was an aspirant, so there's different levels. And, like, when you're first starting off, you're an aspirant. And, like, you're just hanging out with the sisters. You're learning what they do. You're kind of seeing how they operate. So my first year going to Kansas City Pride, I was an aspirant. I was just dressed real crazy in drag, and Andy took a picture with me and he posted it, and a sister in Florida commented, "Is that Cheddar Gorgeous?" Which Cheddar Gorgeous is like an Instagram kind of famous drag artist performer from Manchester who does kind of shaved head, crazy looks. Mm-hmm. So this person was like, "Is that Cheddar Gorgeous?" And I was just being facetious little asshole, and I said, "Oh no, I'm like the knockoff version, Cheese Was Fabulous." And Andy was like, "I think that's your name."
That's right.
So here I am. Sister Cheese Was Fabulous.
A question. I always have external people, like, before I have someone on. You know, I have a very tiny group of people. I don't even think Courtney knows, like, the small group of people that I sort of pre-interview whenever I kind of know that someone's going to be here. And one of the questions is do you all adorn different pronouns inside of your sisterhood? Is Cheese Whiz considered a male, female, non-binary? What is sort of your pronoun, if you will, when you've adorned this?
Well, like, in the sisters, like, there's not really anything, like, official. Like, it's kind of each person's own individual journey. So me personally, I don't care how you refer to me. You can use he, she, they, them, whatever. Right. I'm gonna answer. You can just sister. Like,
yeah,
that it's simple.
And I think
that
it came from, like, that you have Betsy, not her. That's not her sister name, but
Sister Lemonade Phoenix.
Yeah. But that you have females that are also sisters, as well as
A lot of people have that misconception. They see a lot of the sisters and a lot of sister imagery, and they think, oh, you have to be a man with a beard to be a sister. Like, no, like, anybody can be a sister. Like, you can be an AFAB person, you can be biological female, biological male, you can
sister
be...
Sister is more of just, like,
anything,
the
like,
prefix, of, you know, of it's, whatever you are. It is Mr., Mrs., sister, you know, hey sister. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody can be...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do think that might be a common misconception inside of both the sisters and, like, the drag community and stuff like that. I think we were talking about Miss Gay Missouri. I always am always so interested that I feel like, do you have to be gay to be in Miss Gay Missouri? Is that pageant system something that would allow for a heterosexual male who dabbled in drag to come in?
What's his name? He lives in St. Louis. He's,
This is good. We made BJ's brain go.
Daniel Fleer. There we go. Daniel Fleer in St. Louis. What was his drag name? God, he's going to kill me.
No, Vanessa Vincent.
He's Vanessa and his sister was
Vicky.
God, I think there was an old story he was talking about one time that there's somebody who actually won Miss Gay Missouri back in like the 70s or 80s. That he was a straight man with a wife and kids, but he did Liza, I think. Like, he was, like, a professional Liza impersonator, and he did, like, the entire pageant, like, his... Because back then, like, they had female interview, they had sportswear and all that, like, all those categories. So, yeah, like, you don't have to be a gay man to...
That's a question, and I'm sure I asked you that in the room. That is always one of my questions as a judge, because I'm just like, how inclusive is this group? Because you can't have any alterations below the neck, you know, or whatever to be a part of it. And that's fine, because you have to have male interview, but it's even still kind of weird, because why can't you be a trans person? But that's its own... That's the rules set up by the pageant system, so whatever. But I've always been like, the gay part of Miss Gay Missouri is always just such a...
I think it's probably just to separate it from Miss Missouri, right?
100%.
I
mean,
but it I don't know why it's not Miss Drag Missouri or what, you know, what something that is more.
Term that they prefer instead of drag? They prefer, is it female illusion? Like that's the word that they want you to use in your interview.
I've heard that it's about branding and, for lack of a better word, copyright. That it, at this point, if you were to go back and win Miss Drag Illusion Missouri, there are people previous to you that have Miss Gay Missouri, so then there would be a confusion on, are you started the part of the same system or not? So then does that mean that Sparkle Amon or whatever has to change their title? You know, all of the previous one. And that was sort of how it was explained to me from an administrative way on why it sort of keeps going forward. And I'm like, well, start now, you know, start changing it different, but
there's no time like the present.
There's no time like the present. Yeah, I think that that's great. So you, or we all, technically tomorrow, but when this airs, it will be last Saturday. we are all waking up bright and early to head to Jefferson City in the morning to, say a few words about the library band and drag queen story hour band that is sort of taking place in Jefferson City.
Missouri House Bill 2044.
Lovely legislation.
And in case some of our listeners did not tune in last week, do you guys want to talk a little bit about what that bill is incorporating and why we are going there to scream as loud as we can?
Would you like to take the floor, or you want me?
I'm probably not as studied up on this as I should be, but like, I know the legislation is about like public libraries cannot, or the legislation is going to make it so that public libraries have to create like a council, like a board of people who approve or deny like what kind of subject matter is presented in the library.
And it's not just the subject matter as far as it affects story times, which it is clearly written as a direct attack on like, story times.
Like that's clearly the catalyst for them creating this legislation.
So it's actually an amendment to a library bill that exists. I actually went through and read the full bill just so that I had that information, because I'm a weird legal researcher like that. And the bill has been proposed by Representative Ben Baker, who I thought was from the Boot, but is apparently from just outside of St. Louis, so St. Charles, which is interesting. You normally don't see this kind of hateful legislation coming from
St. Charles. Well, exactly. They have wine, right?
So it is essentially it's considered the amendment is the Parental Oversight Committee. So each library will be required. And as far as I can tell on the bill, it's literally each library, not like the Kansas City library system, but each individual library.
Courtney's library.
Right, exactly. The Plaza Branch, the downtown. Everything will have to be have a board of five people from a certain mile radius around that library mm-hmm. to represent fully the community of that system, of that library location, that will deem what is and isn't age-appropriate material for each age range. Mm-hmm. So it directly attacks drag queen story times because those things would not be able to take place. That kind of programming would not be able to happen on the schedule unless the committee approved of that. But it also is criminalizing the librarians for providing said information as well. So if I am a six-year-old and I am having some questions about my gender identity and
just want to learn about it.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. And I want to walk into the library with no programming happening at all and I request the book, I Am Jazz. Exactly. I want to know I Am Jazz. And that committee has deemed that age inappropriate material. The librarian hands that child that book. They are subject to both a $500 fine and are punishable by up to a year in prison.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
There's no way that will pass, though, right?
I'm
saying because there would be so much time. I mean, we're trying to get people out of jail. Why would we put people in for putting a book there?
Well, I don't know if those people are trying to get people out of jail. As part of the people who want librarians to go to jail. I'm not sure if they're working against the current prison system either, but... the bigger issue would be that there'd be such disparity across the state that, like, mm-hmm. I'm sure the Plaza Library Parent Advisory Committee isn't a problem. You know, that's not a problem. But if you're in St. Charles or you're down in the Boone,
somebody
or
down in the Southern Missouri.
Exactly.
So you're almost developing, for lack of a better word, the bigoted libraries compared to the more progressive libraries.
Exactly.
I mean,
It's censorship.
And it is akin to kind of the book banning, the book burning, because mm-hmm. on both sides... both the progressive and not so progressive side of things, I could also see that committee taking things to an even further extreme because I take issue, and maybe this isn't, you know, progressive, I don't know what it is, that you get into the kind of banning of books that are historically representative of where we were. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in the whitewashing of our history, but I also don't believe in not teaching it because it was so negative. And while I understand that there are offensive terms in, say, you know, Catcher in the Rye or To Kill mm-hmm. a Mockingbird, that doesn't mean that that doesn't represent that slice in our history.
Yeah,
and while it should be taught a different way, I don't think that you should really just ban books of any sort. And so I think that it's the extremes on either side, both quote-unquote our side and quote-unquote their side.
Well, I mean, I've heard it as a, like, even as a comparison to abortion in some ways, too. I mean, in the thing mm-hmm. of being, like, have abortion be available, mm-hmm. not, you don't have, if you don't want to read the gay book,
don't read the gay book.
Right. Like,
if of all the places it should be available, it's a library, and the librarian should be protected against providing you with that information, because the librarian doesn't have an opinion one way or another. I think I said this on last week's episode, they're reading the Dewey Decimal System and saying, this is where that book's located.
The thing that sort of came out of, you know, to that point is saying, well, if it is there, you know, like, if the librarian doesn't have an opinion, which mm-hmm. is fine, but that some libraries have the librarian picks mm-hmm. book section at mm-hmm. like the front or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the question would be that even though if, you know, I Love to Be Gay is in the Dewey Decimal System on a rack and someone comes in and asks mm-hmm. for it, but is the difference between my kid walked in and the library picked, yay, I'm gay, and it's sitting there, is that putting that down their throats because they didn't seek that out necessarily, but you are putting it in the very front. I study both sides because I try to, when those things come at me, I want to be as prepared as I can for an answer to say, right, but so does that mean that if I want to walk around naked in my house, I always have to have the blinds closed? Why are you looking in my house?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't, if that, just because you see the book, yay, I'm gay, who cares?
Right.
You know, then the next step is, okay, you see it. Did you go and pick it up and read it? Mm-hmm. Like, or are you that offended by...
Right. Well, and I think that's the thing that is... interesting to me, I had to navigate through since collectively the sisters.
I love these conversations.
And then more so kind of on my end of the organizational portion, Isabel, or Little Sister Queen Jabada Ding Dong, is part of our story time, which is not in danger with this bill because we are held on private property. So we are just going there to show our solidarity and, you know, make our voices heard for something that doesn't directly affect us, but affects the grander us.
But I've heard that because you guys do Drag Queen Story Hour in a different way, you have a target because it is a public restaurant. And so if I want to go in there and eat, not knowing it's kind of an LGBT friendly place, will I be subjected to that in a different way?
But technically, I believe.
But it's a ticketed event.
It's a ticketed event, and I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe it's been explained to me that they open at this time on a Saturday for story time, that technically you shouldn't be able to get into Hamburger Mary's at this
that's
time.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I guess you could at like noon and we're not done till one or whatever, you know, whatever that is, but technically they open specifically for us in the morning.
Yeah.
Because they don't do a brunch situation.
Those are those
Saturdays.
You know, conversations that I just have with people about that.
Yeah. Also, wasn't it like a couple months ago, like something blew up on social media where people, like, not even in our state, but like
correct, yes,
other
literally
states,
worldwide,
super like conservative people were like trying to attack us, like calling our mayor saying you need to shut this down.
Mm-hmm. So much like, that it's, their it's a phone private, system went like broke on Saturday.
But, we're holding it on a private like establishment. It's not public, like. Mm-hmm. The mayor has no control over that. You have no control over that.
Right, but Courtney's child was in the advertisement for it, and that's the endangerment of a child.
Right. yes, it was a rough, like, 4 days
her
or so
boy
going down
was in that photo, by the way. Not even her daughter or whatever they identify as.
It's okay, because Sister Lemonade has also been misgendered.
Yeah, well, and there was, I mean, that was part of kind of navigating through that insanity. We had a crazy woman from Fox News share the event, and that's what kind of sparked that, is she shared that with her, you know, 800,000 followers or whatever, and it just went absolutely nuts. And I don't remember who tagged me in it. And then so myself and Vanessa got kind of in the thick of it, because there were so many people who had no comprehension. There were so many people that kept just being, well, look at the meme. And I'm like, this isn't a meme. That's legitimately my child. Like you're
that's
talking.
A real person.
Right, exactly. And you were talking to both of the mothers. Yes, both of the mothers of these children and the things that you were saying. Because I remember coming through and saying, how would you feel? Would you be saying these hateful things if you were saying them to that child's face directly? And there were so many people who were like, well, we don't know how to find that child, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, I do. Do you want me to read to her
what you're saying to my child?
Why would you do that? And I'm like, well, because you're saying to, you know. And it got to a point where I was getting, I don't know whether Vanessa was, but I was getting, you know, death threats and people threatening to send the police to my house to take away my children and, you know, all these kinds of things where I was just like, this is absolute madness. Like, I don't understand how you can be this hateful about literally reading a book to a child.
Like a child wearing makeup.
Right, exactly.
Dressed crazy.
And I'm not even going to get into the, like, defending whether you believe it's a boy or a girl or whatever. You know, I know what she is, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if she was my son, I would be doing the exact same thing.
And you sort of felt
thing.
Like you couldn't correct because
I don't want to get into any kind of transphobia, because that's not, it doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. It matters to you, but it doesn't matter to me, but I'm not going to sit here and defend it, because then it feels weirdly
Which
transphobic.
Which sort of circles to my, you know, does the sisters have pronouns? Like, when you are wearing the dress, if you will, you know, the cloak, do you have a gender necessarily? And I've always just been like, that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about the mission. It has nothing to do with what is under the cloak.
It has nothing to do with that. It's just about the magic. It's about, like, the love. It's about
Or as I say,
about
go talk to you all.
Like,
I promise you, if you go and have a conversation with any sister, your heart is just going to be full of so much joy.
Yeah.
So because they're going to love you even if you don't love them.
Right.
Like, that's what and that is Martin Luther King, peaceful protests, like, just all of these sorts of things of saying, we are here. And what if I was a young kid who was scared and I saw your confidence out there in the world? That might give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
That might be what I needed to see at AIDS Walk or at a story time or whatever.
Well, that's why you have to do it.
That was a big draw for why I, like, went into the sisters, why I went down this road, because, like, I was like, I get to use my artistry, I get to use my makeup, but it's for a better cause than myself. Like, instead of getting on stage and collecting dollars, like, I'm doing this crazy look, and I'm going out on the streets and I'm spreading joy. Like, I'm, like, tearing down hate. I'm tearing down, like, stigma and stuff like that. Like,
right.
It's not about me. Like, it's about the people out there. But when you do that, you're creating that magic. Like, it kind of is about you because you kind of realize what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I get home at the end of the day, I'm like, I did some amazing shit today. Like,
right. But, and isn't that better than anything else you could be doing? You know, not saying that bar hopping all day is not fun either, but, like, you sometimes are out there on a Saturday all day long, literally just spreading magic and, like, joy.
Yeah,
it's, like, so cool.
Literally just walking around a park all day long. Like,
and it's work. I mean, how long does it take for you to get fully professed, if you will?
it's a whole process. Like, I was not raised Catholic. I was not raised around Catholicism, so I didn't know about the nun hierarchy when I joined. So the way that I thought of it was, like, Boy Scouts. Like, you know, you start out as, like, a Cub Scout, then you're a Boy Scout, and, like, after you've done all your projects and you've checked all the blocks, you get to become an Eagle Scout. Like, that's the top. So, like, that's kind of how the sisters are. Like, you start out as an aspirant, where you're just interested, then you're a postulant, that's the first step. Novice sister is the middle, and then once you, like, have done everything, you've proven, like, your drive and your ability to, like, work and do projects and everything, like, you're a fully professed sister.
And that's sort of just based on your own journey, right? Like, you can do it as quickly or not as possible.
Like, each house is a little different. They have their own set of rules. Like, our house, like, we kind of have, like, a time minimum. Like, you have to spend at least 3 months at this position, at least 6 months at this position, but, like, there are people that have been, like, in that middle step for 2 years, 3 years. Like, it's at your own pace. It's at your own kind of drive.
And I think I think maybe Andy was talking about that one time, and I thought that was pretty cool that that system was set up in a healthy way for people to, like, not feel like they have to be rushed through it, or if their comfortable place is just, like, as an aspirant or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where they can live and...
Like, it's very much, like, people can go at their own pace. Like, being a sister, it's work. It's a commitment. It's a dedication. So, like, there are people that are, like, really, really into it. And, like, they, like, just fly through those steps. Like, I didn't intend to, but, like, everything that just kind of fell into place for me. And, like, from aspirant to postulant, novice, and fully professed, like, boom, boom, boom. Like, I hit, like, right on those time limits. Like, I didn't plan it that way. It just happened. Like,
But you had a pretty good idea of what your novice project would be. I think that's what, like, holds people back, is not really being able to pin down what their novice project is.
Your novice project?
Well, like, just to explain, like, so when you go from being a novice, the middle step, to fully professed, you have to do a novice project. Like, that's kind of our equivalent of, like, the Eagle Scout project. Like, it's your way that you demonstrate that you're able to, like, work with the community, and you're able to coordinate with people, and you're able to, like, plan a project from beginning to end. A lot of people get hung up on that, and they think, like, oh, I have to do this big, grandiose thing. I have to do, like, this big event and raise tons of money. But it's, like, a novice project is what you make of it. Like, play to your strengths, play to your skill sets. So, like, me, like, I'm super creative, I'm super artsy, I love making things. Like, I'm actually wearing one today. I made little condom buttons. Like, I took condoms and I splattered them with paint and I dipped them in resin. So, like, they're hard, they're preserved. And I glued a little pin backing on them and I sold those for, like, to raise money. Like, it was as simple as that. Like,
do you have more for sale?
I do at home, I believe.
I think you should bring one tomorrow for me tomorrow.
But, yeah, like, other people, like, they plan an event. And they plan a big fundraiser. But, like, mine was, like, I just did arts and crafts at home and sold it.
And that's great.
It could be as simple as that.
And was that to promote awareness of?
So, like, it's about, like, I figured, like, it's a good way, like, I'm taking condoms and I'm turning them into jewelry, so it's a good way for people to, like, initiate conversations about safe sex practices and about proper condom usage. And the money that I raised from that project went to Hope Care Center, which is a KC local. Like, it's not really a hospice, but it's kind of an assisted living facility for people that are living with HIV and AIDS. So I raised money for that, and I did arts and crafts. And
they're a great organization.
Yeah.
I definitely, we have a couple of really great organizations in this town that both get support and give amazing support to people who are in need of both emotional and a safe place to be. I love it. I love the advocacies of it all. And you're pretty transparent about your own stories, too, on social media, which I appreciate so much.
I'm fine talking about that. Like, so for everyone out there listening, I'm HIV positive. I've been positive for about 8 years now, but I've been on treatment. I'm undetectable. Like, it's no different than, like, someone living with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the current age that we live in, and I'm incredibly lucky that I live in this age. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, it's...
Your transparency on what, for lack of a better word, social media is, I think, really helpful to a lot mm-hmm. of people. Because you show it all, and you talk about it, and... Mm-hmm. Our son was fortunate enough to get a lovely grant from the AIDS Foundation earlier this year. Awesome. And one of their conversations, I believe the theme for 2020 is, like, unstigmatizing HIV mm-hmm. and AIDS is their big thing this year. And I'm like, everyone talk about it. Yes. Talk about if you have it, talk about it. If you don't have it, talk about people mm-hmm. who know that. It, like, mm-hmm. keep like, talking just, about it. Because the taboo conversations are what make things scarier yeah. and weird.
Well, and I think the kind of forgetting where we came from, that mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of youth now that don't have to have the conversation that we had to have, you know.
During the AIDS epidemic.
And it's really only not been, you know, that scary mm-hmm. conversation for about 3 or 4 years yeah. right. in some mm-hmm. ways when you look at it. Mm-hmm.
I got my diagnosis when I was previously living in Columbia, and like just Columbia versus Kansas City, like,
oh, yeah.
like you think like, oh, those are two cities. Like my experience being HIV positive has been night and day. Like in Columbia, just the education, like the mm-hmm. stigma, like the community there was like not educated about it. And like, I was treated like shit.
I bet you were.
Like I had like a lot of mental struggles. Like I had a lot of bouts of depression. Like it was a difficult time living there. Then I came to Kansas City and like people here just know about it. Like mm-hmm. it's no big deal. I'm like, oh, I'm just a normal person again. Like mm-hmm. I'm not looked at as like some
this freak in the corner.
Like right. some little like infected thing that needs to be quarantined.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm just a normal person. Like,
and yeah. I think it was last year. I all of these inspirational things, whatever. I went to the essentially gay breakfast at UMKC, if you will, the Pride breakfast. And one of the things their speakers talked about is how important it is for people of the LGBT community or also people who are struggling with HIV and AIDS mm-hmm. to talk about the positive things that happen in their life too. That mm-hmm. it also doesn't always have to be mm-hmm. this struggle, although mm-hmm. people have gone through a struggle, mm-hmm. but it's okay for you to say, listen, I've been living with this for 8 years. I live a happy, healthy life, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't know if enough people talk about the positive mm-hmm. sides of HIV, if you will, that like, how much we've grown in research. And yeah.
Like, there has been so much research, there have been so many advancements from where we started, but, like, there's so much room for improvement as well.
Sure.
Like,
until we can eradicate it and make it go away.
Exactly.
Forever.
Like, that's the end goal. Like, let us get a cure to this. Let us eradicate mm-hmm. this.
Right.
But, like, in the meantime, like, every little step, every little progression is amazing. Like,
yeah.
Currently, I don't know if we were going to talk about this, but like currently one of the big things I've been talking about on social media is like I'm actually in a clinical trial through the KC Care Clinic here where instead of taking a daily pill, I'm getting injections.
Mm-hmm.
So like I get my treatment through a monthly injection.
And
like,
that's what you usually put on social media, right?
Yeah, that's what I've been posting every month lately. Like I go and I get my shot. It's a butt shot. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of lovely little butt pictures of me
pictures.
Out there.
Is it the same and doctor that gives the shot every time? Like,
yeah. Like I go to the KC Care Clinic and it's their little clinical trials team that sees me. Like they draw blood, they do like set it off for lab work, doing like they're checking all this stuff throughout the process. And I just get a shot once a month. I don't take a daily pill anymore. Like, mm-hmm.
how long did you take the daily crazy. Pill?
So I've been doing the shot for 6 or 7 months now. So. If it's been 8 years, that's 7.5 years mm-hmm. that I was on a daily pill. And, like, I didn't realize how much of a mental burden it was until I was off of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I had, like, systems in place for me to keep track of taking that pill. Like, do not forget this pill. Do not miss it. Like, I had a whole system where I had a weekly pill organizer on my nightstand table.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put a ring on top of, like, the day. So when I wake up in the morning, I would put the ring on, take that pill.
Right.
So that way, anytime during the day, if I was like, did I take my pill this morning? I would just look at my hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as long as I was wearing that ring, I knew I took my pill. If I was not wearing the ring, I'm like, oh shit, my pill's at home. Mm-hmm. I need to take it as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I think
I don't have to go through that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't wear rings anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about that.
I think
like,
the pill taking is something that all different groups of
demographics, oh, yeah,
you know, elderly, all of those people, just that idea mm-hmm. of having to take a daily pill mm-hmm. every day. So any way that we can advance that
mm-hmm.
Ability to not forget, you know, or so you don't, if you, I'll just talk about the coronavirus on a cruise ship, that you don't have to take those pills, thousands of those pills on a boat with you. You just have to get a 1 month injection. You know, it helps your travel. It makes you not be so scared that you're going to forget something.
Well, like, that's also something that I was thinking about. And I think I tried to talk to the people doing the clinical trials, because there are a lot of countries out there that have bans. Like, if you're HIV positive, you cannot visit certain countries. Like, there are countries you cannot go to. And, like, I assume that that's mostly tracked through, like, you bringing, like, your medication, with you.
Sure.
Right. So I'm like, if I'm on this shot, like...
They don't know.
Like, yeah, they have no idea. Like, I'm not carrying those pills in my luggage. Like, not that I'm going to visit, like, the Middle East. The not that I'm going to visit, like,
but if
Iraq.
But if you did...
I could.
It's one less target on your back. You know, that it's in your carry-on, if you will. See, I am so glad you brought that up. You know, that is something that is definitely a household discussion as well. Your transparency through your journey is, I don't want to say inspiring, but it's pretty inspiring. You know, everyone talks about how much they love Cheese Whiz, by the way. I mean, I don't want to, like, make you, like, feel uncomfortable, but we talk about how amazing you are. Often, so when you said that you would come and sit with us, we're like,
well, like secretly for the longest time, like, I've been a long time 5 and 10, but this is my first time as a contributor. So, like, in the back of my mind, when I got that little message saying, like, can you come be on our show? I was like,
what baby?
I was like, ooh, like, I get to be one of those people.
I should just go home today. I just called your son. I have another group of friends that are like, I'm an original 5 and 10. That makes my heart very
happy. I'm a long time listener, first time contributor.
Well, because you're a long time listener, you probably know where we're going into next.
Oh, God.
The question section.
Is it that time?
It's that time.
We are, I don't want you to know how much time we don't have left. Like, it's sad how quickly these hours can go sometimes.
It's true.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I'll just ask you one of the ones from last week. What's your favorite curse word?
My favorite curse word? This isn't a curse word, but I love the word wiener. Like, it's so childish. I just love being like, oh, look at that wiener. Like, oh, that's a nice wiener.
I love that.
Fuck is a go. Like, it's just like, it just rolls off the tongue.
Fuck's my word.
Fuck.
Because of that stupid song that came out in like 2000 or whatever about all of the different ways that you can use fuck in one sentence. That was fucking awesome, you fucking asshole. You know, like, yeah, those things. Well, fuck. On the radio, too. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Oops. Big sponsors. Yeah.
It's fine. All right, well, we'll go with the traditional one. You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Like, I love hearing these answers, and, like, for the longest time, I'm like, ooh, like, what would my answer to this be? And, like, I feel like I want to be... like, a completely, not useless, but, like, I want to be, like, a plaid crayon.
Crayon?
Like, what would you use a plaid crayon for? Nothing. But, like, when you use it, it would be amazing. Like, that would be, like, the one pristine crayon in the box while, like, all the others get used.
You want to stay perfectly sharp.
And, like, I would just be the one that, like... It's so pretty, but what do I use that for?
Okay, that's fantastic. I love that.
I am so into that. Everyone else is like, no offense.
I want to be periwinkle.
Like, yeah. Cerulean.
We've heard cerulean the most of any.
I want to be bluish purple.
I'm sure people just watched Devil Wears Prada before they came here. They're saying cerulean. I'm like, you just watched Devil Wears Prada. No one's favorite color is cerulean.
Can't you throw out a different Pantone?
Right.
It's interesting.
But last week's was pretty fun. Yikes.
Yikes blue. Well, but yikes, she said cerulean first, but then she... Yeah.
Yikes. That was fun. I had fun talking with Ashton last week. Remember, guys, it'll already have happened, but Laramie Project auditions happened this past weekend.
Hopefully, congratulations.
Congratulations to the cast. What is your definition of real magic?
Well, like, I've thrown that word out there a lot. Like, I think that, like, real magic is, like, I think art, like, creating art, sharing art, like, just making art, like, that's magic. Like, you put this work out there and, like, people respond to it, they react to it, like, it causes emotions, like, it causes reactions, like, to me, I think that's magic.
I love that you're an artist. Mm-hmm. Artists only know how to talk about being artists.
Like, I love being an artist. Mm-hmm. Is that...
I love it.
Yep. Hey. It's all we know how to do.
Hashtag AA.
Mm-hmm. True story.
Like, I can't believe I have to say this, but what is your last question?
What's the last? Because we've gone so far. Okay, all right. Oh, God. Isn't that the saddest that feel most like, we just run out of time. Like, do I want to do the invisible one?
Or I'll let you have two.
Okay, all right. Okay. So you're invisible for 24 hours. What do you do with your time? Oh,
this is so pervy.
No. Kate Gilchrist was pervy, not you.
If I was invisible, like, when I was a little baby queer, just realizing that I was into men, like, the first thing that I was drawn to, like, pornographic-wise, was, like, locker rooms. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think that's just, like...
It's exactly what Katie said.
Katie Gilchrist said she wanted to sit in the Sporting KC locker room and just sit.
Yeah, like... Drink coffee. Like, I think that, like, that's every little kid, like, when they're growing up and they're going through middle school, high school, like, playing sports. Like, that's, like, your little secret time where you get to have those indulgences without other people knowing. Well, it's the place
that
you're told
when you first start puberty, at least I was, even before about sexuality and all of that, that they were like, that's the place, like, you might have to shower. So that's someone might see, like, how big your penis is, or for you, your wiener. You know? Or, like, women being like, oh, I'm going through puberty, like, and, like, my breasts are coming, and all that, and almost setting it up to where it's, like, this hygiene and this scary place and showers and all of these things.
Everything's changing. Everything. Your body. You don't know what's happening.
There's just so much like unknown and so much mysticism. Yeah.
And then you get in there and just like everyone's just trying to get the fuck out.
Everyone like, feels that same level of awkward.
No one everyone is hates that in there. So it's just so funny how it's like set up that way. Which could probably be one of my answers to the
The next one, which is what problem or situation in TV or movies make you think would be a much bigger deal in real life?
Oh, geez, like drugs? Is that
that's
my experience. Like as a kid growing up, like you're like the DARE program is just shoved down your throat.
That is literally all of a sudden someone with a trench coat was going to be selling me marijuana tablets just right and left and like, just take them, and I'm like, where are you?
No, nobody's offering no these one fun is things.
Like being like, please take my weird
you gotta pay a lot of money for that.
It is a lucrative business, or we would have so much hard time actually
it's so much fear mongering that's shoved on you as a kid, but then when you're older you're like, I'm an adult, I can make my own choices.
Right.
Some of these things aren't scary, some of them are.
I have my DARE certificate that hangs behind my desk as a daily reminder that I passed that and definitely did not stay drug free. And I've always been an advocate that the DARE program taught me how to do drugs. Because it told me the different ways to do it. These are the
don't give
ones.
Away your drugs for free.
Well, but these are, like, I seriously remember though, fifth, sixth grade, there was in that booklet, there was the hard drug section and the not hard drug section. Because they were trying to be like, alcohol is a drug, you know, and these things. Yeah, and I was just like, this is everything I need to try. Like, I just was like, you literally given me the menu of everything I need to be able to make my decision on. No heroin, though. No needles. Have a good day.
And, like, of all things, like, caffeine is not on those lists. Like,
that is the biggest addiction
people have.
Yeah.
Like, well, and then they're like, aspirin, you know, because they're trying to be like, you can abuse anything. And I got it, but all of a sudden I was like, I'm going to take three
aspirin. I'm going to OD on some baby aspirin.
My blood's really flowing now.
Woo! Let's go on a swing, you know. I'm crazy. What is a piece of advice that you would give yourself today? Not yesterday, not 5 years from now. Today. You woke up and you look at yourself in the mirror.
I woke up and I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm giving myself advice today. Like, just do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to society. Don't think about what other people are going to think. Like today, like I got dressed up. Like I didn't put on any makeup, but I got fully dressed up, fully manifested. And I took an Uber to come here. Mm-hmm. When my Uber driver pulled up in his pickup truck, which is the first time I've had a truck show up to pick me up for Uber.
And you're like, hi.
I climb in and the guy was like, whoa, what are you? What's going on? So I told him, I was like, oh, I'm a sister. We dress as nuns. We do lots of charity work. We do lots of fundraising for the queer community.
And I'm going to be going to 9th and Harrison, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm going to the Arts Asylum.
Yeah.
He literally just like immediately launched into, he was like a pharmaceutical rep for like 5 years, like doing HIV drug, like, development. I was like, what? Like, this straight man, like, had a lovely 10-minute conversation with him. Like,
I love that. I actually like taking Ubers and stuff like that. And and we always love to talk afterward. We're like, that guy was really chatty, or they didn't say a damn word. Thank you.
Like, usually, I like to get in the back seat. I don't want them to say a word to me. Right. Like, you can play your music, but...
You couldn't help today, it today.
Yeah, today I couldn't help but have a conversation.
Can you imagine if you would have been like, I need you to just get in the truck bed in the back? You would have been like, okay, do I get to wave? Yeah, that is so fun. And then I guess I need you to do one more because I don't want to do three in a row.
Okay, that's fair. Hold on, let me get out my list again. Look at that, Andy Chambers is messaging me.
I'm sorry.
And that's the much as that song I can do.
I know, okay, alright, okay, I'm sorry.
No, so, before we get sued.
Yeah, that's right, we got to only 30 seconds of that. Yeah. Alright, what would your superpower be if you were a superhero?
My superpower? Like, I've always wanted to, like, be able to, like, teleport? Like, teleportation?
Poof!
Mm-hmm. Like, traveling is, like, boring sometimes, so, like, if I just want to be, like, oh, if I had this meeting at 10:30 this morning, like, I could just hang out in my apartment till 10:29.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wish that teleportation eventually existed, and I don't even mind if it had a price to it. To be like, listen, I bought 4 for $5, you know, teleports this year for $100, and you get one free or something. Mm-hmm. And there's just that time that you are running late, and you're like, I'm going to cash in one of these $50 teleports. Yeah. Like, make it expensive at first, but I got to get to the airport right now. Well, I am late.
It's not quite teleportation, but when we had that lovely period with Eric Greitens as our little mayor, or not mayor, governor, what was he? The governor of the state. Right. Like, his big push was, like, he was going to get that stupid hyperlink thing between Kansas City and St. Louis. I want that to happen! That's not teleportation, but, like, 30 minutes to be in St. Louis?
Minutes to St. Louis, that is fantastic.
Please.
That means I can go there for
dinner.
I don't care how much it costs. Yeah. I can be like, bitch, I need some Italian on the hill right now.
I need some chi ravs.
Right, exactly.
Ooh,
I had some of the best toasted raviolis last time I was in St. Louis. Sorry, they're so good. Yes.
Yeah, I love a toasted ravioli.
Oh my god, I had the best one I've ever had. I have to figure out where it was. I think it was in the Loop. I'll have to ask Bob Banana. But they're in Costa Rica right now.
Is there anything that we did not have the opportunity to talk about on the show that you would like to discuss or say, or words of advice, or events you'd like to pimp, or anything?
World peace?
World peace. That's so Miss Congeniality. I love that.
I love that movie. Mm-hmm. We talked about a lot. Like,
that's great.
There's always stuff coming up. Like, we've got our lovely rally tomorrow, but it's going to be in the past by the time people listen to this.
And we, you know, next week we will probably have Courtney and I are going to do like a 10-second like recap of that, Saturday, you know, just to sort of, or maybe at the end say, and this is what...
And this is when it went terribly wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, it rained all day and everyone's makeup, did. And then who should we have on the couch? As one of our original 5s and 10s.
Oh, that's right.
Who would you like to hear from? Who should we have on?
I mean, like, for the longest time, I'm like, if I get to, like, make this recommendation, I'm like, I want to hear from, like, some other young artists. I want to hear from young artists. Like, I think that Boy would be really great. Mm-hmm. Or have you had him? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No,
like,
yeah,
I think
that,
like,
right.
Boy Boy or anyone from, like, his little art community.
I talked to Boy Boy, I believe, when he was in... Oh, he was one of the guest judges with me, I think, at...
Drag Survivor?
Yeah, he was one of my guest judges with me.
I think he would be great, but, like, also, like, I know you previously had a group of sisters, like, you had Glamorama, Phil, and Cupcake, like, maybe, like, one of them, like, as a one-on-one. Like, instead of as a panel.
They came on, I believe, just to talk about Exactly. So, I would love to have an individual conversation with, like, any of them. Obviously... Mm-hmm. Kind of Alan. I would love to have a one-on-one with Alan too.
Like, when I'm at events and I have like little like corner, like me and Alan just in a corner chatting, like, oh, he doesn't get the limelight a lot, so when he has those little moments, they're real magical.
I love him.
They are.
I bought that fabulous red coat that many of you might have saw on social media.
I'm not saying that I messaged Andy and I was like, that motherfucker bought that coat that I wanted.
Do you know how many targets I had on my back?
Do you know how many times I tried on that coat in his store?
I mean, there were people coming out of the woodwork, you know, not even trying to be thirsty on the photo, but just being like, I heard you're the one that bought it.
You're the one that got the
And I was like, because Andy was like, listen, he showed up with money.
Right.
Like, that's why he was like, anyone can have it. I just was like, what time does your store open?
Like, Andy runs a business.
Yeah.
He does not run a museum. Like,
and I also said,
he wants to sell his stuff.
I was like, you can borrow it back to, I've told anyone that. It's, I'm not like... porting it. If you want
to. Like, clearly, you're not wearing it right now.
But it might show up tomorrow.
Well, you know, even though it's supposed to be like balmy in the 60s.
Exactly. Well, I'm just saying, there might just be a harness on underneath it.
For tomorrow.
I'm not mad about that.
I just gotta find a harness in 24 hours, but
whatever. Girl, I got plenty.
Bring it tomorrow morning. We'll see how it goes. I'm not even. Sorry, Dad.
it's fine.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being on the show, BJ.
Thank you for having me.
This was great. Please look into the City of Fountains Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They're a wonderful group. We've got all sorts of lovely people in there. Tomorrow, or if you're listening to this next week, you know, we'll... Hopefully the rally went well.
Hopefully it's a magical experience. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get to spread some joy and some love while we're doing this work.
We'll also have gone through our Missouri primary.
Make sure that you're voting on.
So make sure that you vote next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. But they're listening to this after they vote?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard. So that's what I'm saying. Just is, I know it's really difficult, you know, and like literally
we'll just post week, right now.
Mm-hmm. We lost 3 people in 1 week. That is crazy.
I think we lost the one that I wanted to vote for.
Which one were you?
I was going to vote for Elizabeth.
Yeah.
That was me. Mm-hmm. But
here we are.
We don't get her. Yeah. And what's crazy is some people did get to vote for her because they did absentee or early votings. So there are, I'm not really, we sort of have been talking about that in the office, that idea of, fuck. You know, that's sort of where I was, and now we are.
Aging white men again. All right.
America chose the old white male again. But we'll
Thanks,
see.
America.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. So then next week when this is on, we will hopefully have perhaps Stuart from
the rep,
or we'll have someone else for you. I always like to put that out just in case you're listening and to be like, we would love to have you on.
Hey, Stuart, respond back to my text.
Respond back. But yeah, so look for pictures and have a delicious day, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Spread some magic.
Spread some magic.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.